want to talk to you this morning about two things that can make a big difference in your life. And these two things are very, very old. Christians from the very beginning have known these two things, practiced these two things, and it's just been really in many ways life-changing, especially in their walk with the Lord. These two things, you can be absolutely certain that in the early days of the Free Church, these two practices, these two, you might call them spiritual disciplines, were at the very core of the church, very core of families, very core of people's Christian lives. And these two things, these two principles, these two disciplines are found right here in John in chapter 14. But I want to recap for just a moment. We began a little series this month called Seeing Jesus at Christmas Time. Seeing Jesus at Christmas Time. And really what set me off on all of that is, as you start to read John chapter 14, he said, now don't let your hearts be troubled. He's talking to his disciples. He's going to the cross. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And it seemed like that word believe, you know, Hallmark has grabbed a hold of it, and different Christmas shows, and throughout the holidays, you know, believe in the magic of Christmas and things like that. I thought, you know what, Tom? What are you believing at Christmas? Are you believing in Jesus at Christmas? And that's what I want to challenge all of us this month, is not just believing in Christmas, but believing in Jesus Christ at Christmas. And so we want to explore that together. We started last week, and we looked at when Jesus actually started off this message to his disciples, he talked to them about heaven. He talked to them about a relationship with him that would end up in heaven. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Remember, it's right there, chapter 14, if you have your Bible open. Verses 1, 2, 3, I go to prepare a place for you. They said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I promise I'm coming back, and I will take you to be with me forever. And Thomas, he asked lots of good questions. Lord, we honestly don't really know where you're going, so we wouldn't know how to get there. And then we have that verse, John 14, verse 6. This would be a good verse to underline in your Bible. It'll certainly be a good verse to memorize. Jesus said, I am the way, Thomas. I'm the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he's making it very clear, helping them see, that the way to the Father is only through the Son. But that brings the next disciple, is Philip, and Scott read for us a few minutes ago. Well, okay, yeah, that's great. If you look at verse 7, in verse 8, could you just show us the Father? Could you show us the Father? That would be enough for us. That would be awesome if you could do that. Show us the Father. And so what you're going to see here is Jesus' way of helping his disciples see and know the Father in a personal way. Not just, okay, when I die, I know I'm going to heaven, but how do I live right now? And that brings us back to those two little principles, those two little practices that can be absolutely life-changing. Because to see Jesus is really to see the Father. And we have a number of young families and little kids running around. You know, you see these little kids and you go, oh my goodness, I know what family you're from. You know, you see the Whitrock kids, you know, the Eastlands, they must have about 9 or 10 of them. You know, they got these kids and you look at them, my goodness, it's like, wow, spitting image. All of them, all these kids, right? So to see Jesus is really important for those of you perhaps or maybe thinking about the Christian life, you're not so sure this is even true. What you need to do, you want to know God, you want to see the Father, need to take a long look at Jesus Christ. What Jesus does here is he gives them two little keys to help them enter in. Their keys, their principles, their practices that will be life-changing for you in your life. I mean, even Paul in Colossians in chapter 1 will say that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The writer to the Hebrews will say, the Lord, he is the radiance, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact imprint of his nature. So you'll find those in the notes there, and I'm having a little bit of trouble here with my own my little phone here and the notes here. But let me just share with you, very simple. Look at verse 13 and 14. Asking, the issue is prayer, coming to know the Lord through prayer. And the second one you'll find in verse 21, and you'll find in verse 23, it's the Word of God. You find any Christian who's been walking with the Lord down through the centuries, you'll find that they have a prayer life, and they read, and they take the Scriptures seriously. What's so sweet about that is the connection to really see who Jesus is and have a relationship and a walk with him. That's principles and practices that we can do to make sure we have this close, abiding relationship with the Lord. So for the minutes that we have together this morning, what I want to do is just look at those two things. Prayer and the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God. Look at verse 13 again. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see what prayer is? Prayer has to do with asking. Twice here. Asking. And what do we pray about? Well, if you look at verse 13, he says you pray about whatever. If you look at verse 14, it's anything. You might remember I told you the story of my missionary friend, Phil Tuckey. His son prayed, that the Lord would actually shut down the rain for a few minutes so they could actually go out and enjoy playing with his scooter. Now, the Lord doesn't always do those kind of things, right? But the key is that you need to know, I need to know, that you can pray about anything. Anything. Absolutely anything. But we need to pray in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name. He repeats that twice. And twice he'll say here, when you pray in my name, I will do it. I will do it. And in the middle of it there, look closely, the reason behind it all is that the Father would receive glory. Maybe the reason why prayer might be a little fuzzy, or we might not find we're finding too many answers to prayer because we're not really understanding what it means to pray in Jesus' name and praying that the Father would receive glory in the Son, right? The Father would receive glory in the Son. So twice here he talks about asking. Twice here he says, I will do it. And twice he says, pray in my name. So I was thinking, you know, is there a story? Is there something? Because I love stories. I need illustration. So what came to my mind, and I want to just share this with you, under this little first point here, let me show you a little story in Jesus' life that illustrates what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name and the Father receiving glory. So right now, I'd like you to take your Bible, just go backwards a little ways into Mark's Gospel, in chapter 1. So I want to tell you a little story here that illustrates this principle of praying in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name. It's found in verses 29, 30, and 31. Mark 1, 29, 30, and 31. Jesus and his disciples are at Simon's mother-in-law's house. Simon was a married man. This is his mother-in-law. They're at her house. But she's not well. She's in the back bedroom. She's ill. She has a bad fever. She's the kind of person you can tell from the story. She loves to serve, loves to bless. You come to her home, you're going to get a welcome, food, all you need. She can't do anything because she's really sick, really sick. So what you have the disciples doing is the disciples tell Jesus about the mother-in-law. They speak to Jesus. Jesus goes, takes her by the hand, lifts her up, and the fever is gone. And the mother-in-law, she's thrilled by this. She immediately goes back into her normal personality, her normal calling, loving the Lord. She began serving them. That's really what prayer is all about. See, the disciples did the asking. Jesus did the healing, and the result was that the mother-in-law did the serving. There was a change. It went from fever, can't get out of bed, to out of bed and blessing everyone in the house. But it's because the disciples asked Jesus, and Jesus has the ability to do something about it. It was in his name. And it brought glory to the Father. Glory to God. That's really what it's all about, friends. As you're praying, you think about your prayer life. You're praying in Jesus' name. You're praying to the glory, for the glory of the Father. Praying in Jesus' name. So when I was a student at Moody Bible Institute, my roommate was John Talmadge. And John Talmadge got a job. I may have told you this before, but my roommate, John Talmadge, got a job with Paul Harvey, Paul Harvey News. And my friend became, John became the For What It's Worth department. There was one guy in that department, that was him. And if for those of you who can remember the Paul Harvey News, 12 o'clock broadcast, you know, toward the end, he said, well, and From What It's Worth department, and he'd tell you some story about somebody from North Dakota, you know, and some great thing that happened in their life, something small and insignificant, you know, but then you hear it across the radio waves. My friend's job was to read 30 or 40 newspapers a day and find those stories and put them on Paul Harvey's desk. Then Paul Harvey would choose one or two of them, and he'd bring it into his broadcast. So one day my friend John Talmadge said to me, hey, would you like to watch Paul Harvey do his broadcast? You kidding? Of course. So he got me there, but here's the thing. If I had just waltzed in and said, hi, I'm Tom, and I want to hear Paul Harvey do his news, like, well, isn't that sweet, my friend, and there's the door, you know. You're not getting in here. But because I knew John Talmadge, and in John Talmadge's name, the For What It's Worth department guy, he got me in there. And it was a room about 8x8, right on Wacker Avenue there, on the third or fourth floor. And it was just me and Paul Harvey. And he had a little desk and a microphone. And, I'm more nervous than Paul Harvey. And I said to him, sir, how many people are going to be listening to this today? And he said, about 20 million. And I'm sitting within just a few inches of this microphone. I could have said, hi, Mom, got it, because it's live, you know. But this is how he did it. There would be a light that started flashing, a red light that started flashing, and he went just like this, me, and the light flashed. He's going, me, hello, Americans, this is Paul Harvey, stand by for news. And it was like, wow, this is awesome. I got into Paul Harvey's recording studio because I knew the name of the For What It's Worth department. And you have access to the Father, but you aren't coming because you and I, we're just sweet people. hey, we're all right, we're cool. You're coming in the authority of Jesus, you're coming on the merit of Jesus, and you're coming so that the Father would be glorified. That's a very, very important principle here. Remember, we're talking about seeing Jesus at Christmas time. And the way to do that is you've got to develop your prayer life, my prayer life. Praying in Jesus' name, in his authority. You know, the name of the Lord, the proverb says this, the name of the Lord is a high tower, strong tower. Those who are fearful, they run into it, and they're made safe. See, knowing Jesus and his name really is what? It's a revelation of who he is. You're praying on that authority. So, you know, sometimes when we talk about prayer, and I think this might be helpful, but sometimes we talk about prayer, we say, well, sometimes the Lord says yes, sometimes the Lord says no, sometimes the Lord says wait. But I'm looking at that thought, and I'm looking at it here in these verses, and I'm not seeing that actually. I'm seeing he answers every single time. But this is a very big key here. If you want your prayers to be answered, and they will, it's when the Father is glorified. If you want more than anything else that the Father receive glory and honor from your life, absolutely that prayer is answered. Even if you don't find out how it was answered until you get to heaven. That's key. We want our answers now. It's almost like we have a menu, like the Lord shows up as our table server and says, hey, what would you like? I'd like number 8. All right, we'll get that for you right away, sir. That's really not what's going on here. This is you ask for anything in my name that the Father would receive glory in the Son. The more you and I can get that into our minds and hearts, that prayer is about bringing glory to the Father, all of your prayers are answered. All of them. I will do it, he said. Very encouraging. Seeing Jesus at Christmas time, he's saying, you want to know me? You don't want to know the Father. I'm reveal him to you, but you've got to learn to ask. You want to see him show up in your life? You need to learn to ask in my name, he said. And then there's the Word of God. The Word of God. People who've walked with Jesus for a long time, they have a deep and significant and meaningful prayer life, but they also are deeply into the Scriptures. And you see that in John 14, verses 21, and certainly verse 23. Prayer, you know, prayer at its core is communication with God. But so is the Bible. The Bible is the voice of the Lord. Today, if you hear my voice, Hebrews 3, three times, those two chapters. Today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Echoing Psalm 95, which is a story from Exodus 17, right throughout the Scriptures are the voice of the Lord. So if you look at verse 21, I'd like you to look at that with me here this morning. As we bring our study to a close here, chapter 14, verse 21, you work backwards, look what you see here. You see Jesus revealing himself. He's manifesting himself. Isn't that exactly what Philip wanted there in verses 7 and 8? Show us the Father. I'll show myself to you. You deepen your prayer life and get serious about the Scriptures, because that's where I'll meet you. Those are a means of grace. He reveals himself. He discloses himself. And work a little bit backwards up again. When he shows himself to you, he is going to show you. It's not some just sort of, you know, academic up in your head. Your heart will be absolutely warmed by the fact, the truth, he loves you. I love you. My Father loves you. I will manifest myself to you. In fact, love is all over that verse, isn't it? Isn't it? John 3:16, God loves the world, but we love him back. And you love him back by putting his word into practice. There'll be no end to knowing Father loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus will manifest himself to you. Verse 23, they'll make their mansion in you. We sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I don't think we have this song. I love Jesus, this is how. Verse 21 shows you. You know, I can sing all day, oh, I love you, Lord. And the Lord says, yeah, oh, that's wonderful. Nice sound. Verse 21 is where I want you to live, Tom. You have my word. You put it into practice. That's the person who loves me. Some years ago, I made a connection with a Sarah Overstreet, and you don't know her, but she wrote all kinds of Bible. She was so helpful in Bible in the public schools, and her curriculum was so helpful. She was connected with the seminary that I went to. And I asked her on the phone, she's a Southern lady, I said, ma'am, what's the secret of putting a good Bible study together? She said, well, I believe I need to apply the Word of God to my heart first. That's simple, isn't it? To see if I'm not applying this to my life first, that's just academically giving it to you. It goes from my head to your head, and it really isn't going anywhere. Jesus is saying, Tom, you need to live in and live out the Scriptures. So I asked her, what's the victorious Christian life? She said, I believe I need a dose of God's Word every day. You get that? You get a dose of God's Word every day. Oh, I want to see Jesus. Lord, I want to know you. Well, then ask me in my name and I will show up. Oh, would you please manifest yourself? I'd be happy to manifest myself to you. In fact, I'm going to overwhelm you with my love. As you love me, you listen to my word and you put it into practice. You put it into practice. A couple weeks ago, I just love this story. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you the story from 2 Kings. And remember, this fellow shows up with a bunch of loaves of bread. He's got them for Elisha. Elisha, I got some bread for you. And Elisha says, that is really nice, man. I tell you what, why don't you give those to my 100 boys there? Oh, I ain't got enough for that. I only got enough for you, sir. No, you give them to them. This is the word of the Lord. You give to them and they'll have plenty to eat. He was given the word of the Lord. What did he do with it? He had to turn off the voice in his head. This ain't going to happen. This aren't going to work. I can't make that happen. And listen to the word of the Lord. As he put the word of the Lord into practice, the miracle flowed. Simply flowed through his life. Seeing Jesus at Christmas, believing on Jesus at Christmas, I wanted you to see this morning that he gives you two things right in your lap. The prayers that are in your heart and the scriptures that are in your hands. You take those two things, you take them seriously into your life, and you see the Lord Jesus as you talk to him in prayer. As you listen to him talk to you in his word and you put that into practice, he will make himself known to you. It's not some magical secret. It's not some seminar you got to go to. It's not some secret book you got to read. It's not all kinds of little weird little stuff that different religious people will tell you need to do. No, you talk to the Lord in prayer and you listen to him talk to you in the word. And your life will be transformed. Father, thank you for your truth today. Thank you, Jesus, that you spell things out for us. You don't leave us in the dark. You show us that you just want us to talk to you in prayer, and you want us to take your words serious. We have your commands, we know them, but are we practicing them? Lord, help us to do that. I pray, Lord, that this Christmas, this season, this December, all of us here would grow in our prayer life, grow in our intake of God's word, and outflow in obedience. In your name I pray. Amen.